Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you.
وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد أيها المسلمون with God's name the merciful benefactor the merciful redeemer all praise belongs to Allah, the guardian, evolver, the cherisher, keeper, sustainer of all the systems of knowledge. We seek His help. We ask for His forgiveness. We put our faith and our trust in Him, mighty and sublime is He. I bear witness that there is nothing worthy worship except Allah alone, the one and only. There is none like unto Him. And I bear witness of Prophet Muhammad, son of Allah, and his descendants. Behold, the Quran was revealed 1,445 years ago as the law of servants, messenger, prophet for all of mankind. We ask the law of peace, his blessings, his highest exaltation, be upon Prophet Muhammad, son of Allah, and his descendants, upon his family, his companions, the righteous all. And you all Muslims in peace. Assalamu alaikum. That is, may the peace and all the Almighty God, the source of peace, the origin of peace, that gives you the honor. We'd like to welcome our brothers and sisters here at Al-Islam Worldwide Ministry, our Bible prayer, Masjid Muhammad in Jacksonville, Florida, our national community, Brooklyn, East Coast, West Coast, North, South, that are joining us on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, StreamYard Live, and our Jumu'ah Conference Live. Greetings to all of you. To our international community, family and friends in Bermuda, Jermaine Abdullah, Malaysia, our Christian brothers and sisters, we say peace be on you, our Jewish friends, shalom. And I have three new international viewers that joined us last week, and I'd like to bring them to your attention. Sister Binti Falala from Nigeria. Welcome to Al-Islam worldwide ministry outside the spring. Brother, Asogba Michael, also from Nigeria. Welcome out, your brother. And Brother Timon Mohammed from Egypt. Welcome our brother from Egypt. And I was in Egypt back in 1988 as invited guest of then President Hosni Mubarak, along with his soul, living in sin. And I was treated very well by the Egyptian Muslim community. So Brother Mohammed, welcome from Egypt. Brother Mujahid and Amina, always a pleasure, my dear friend. In Okinawa, Japan, and while full time, thanks for letting us know that you're okay, you all are all right. You got a long road back in that beautiful island of Hawaii. Imam Muhammad Abdullah, Birmingham Islamic Center, always my dear friend, for being with us the Jummah before your Jummah. And thank you for looking out for my daughter and family last week when the Texas Longhorn visited Birmingham, Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Family and friends of the Islamic Association of the Soul of Texas, greetings to you all also. Now, I know you all are aware, and there's no way for us to miss this, and I want to welcome our guest, Sir Don Gamlin, brought his wife with him today, cousin. Tracy Gamlin, good to see you. I'll let my sister Queenie know that you came for Friday prayer. We're happy to have you with us. Morocco, 2,700 people lost their lives living. And I thought that was devastating, and then right behind it, maybe both these countries are Africa. Predominantly Muslim countries. Libya, 8,000 people lost in the devastating flood in Libya. Now, as it may be in our hearts, we have always thoughts and prayers and hearts go out to the families that survived the earthquake and those who survived those floods. But keep in mind, our Prophet Muhammad, proud and peace be upon the prophet, he said anyone that dies in a natural disaster, like an earthquake, building a fire, he said they automatically go to family. As sad as it is, their souls were required to get them. Their souls were required to get them. So we ask Allah to have mercy on them. So let us have a moment of silent prayer for the brothers in Morocco and Libya that lost their lives. And me, Allah, rest their souls in peace, in comfort, and relief to their surviving family members and friends. Our subject today, which I mentioned to you last week, starts here, and we should be able to conclude it today. The Quran is the key, our key. And if you missed last week, you can go online, go be online right then. You can later, after Jummah, go to part one, that was last week. We talked about the Quran being the key to what? The key to the sciences. It unlocked and opened the doors to mystery. And it was the key to unlocking the secret science of the mysterious science of the scriptures, the Bible, Revelation. I'm speaking fast, but only this part two. And so a quick highlight. The sealing up of the knowledge so that the common people wouldn't get it. And Allah blessed Muhammad the Prophet with the Quran as the key, the mystery, to open up again the knowledge and the high science and scripture and the high insights into the natural world of the common people. So we begin reading from the Quran is the key, part 2, verse 63, chapter 39. And this chapter is titled, As-Zumar, the crown, And when we were growing up, we had our mothers and fathers. This is a message for the young people online. Some years, we had our mothers and fathers and grandparents, and people cared about us. They would say, "Be careful of the crowd that you associate yourself with." So this is Azuma, the crowd. Verse 63. Bismillahi r-Rahmanir-Rahim. God's name, the merciful, that attacks us, the merciful, the redeemer. Lahu maqalidu samawati wal ardi. Walladheena kafaru bi ayati Allahi. Ulaika humul khasirun. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. God, the mighty, spoke the truth as revelation to Muhammad the Prophet, as in peace upon him. Translating now, Abdullah Yusufali's translation. To him, to God, belong the keys of the heaven and the earth. And those who reject the signs of God, it is they who will be the losers. They will be the ones losing. God the mighty spoke the truth. Now, what I want to bring to your attention, last week in chapter 6, verse 59, and our brothers here, those online, and sisters who understand Arabic, they'll hear exactly what I read from this chapter 39 to 63. So I'm going to point this out. What I read to you last week is 6 and 59. Why the Quran, Arabic is so important. And with him are the keys. But if you listen, that's a different word. Mafatihu, that's still a mixture. The word that I just read today from chapter 39, verse 63, Mokalidu. But it translates to him belong the keys of the heavens and earth. Now, if you don't know Arabic or Quranic Arabic, and you open it up, and no criticism, just an observation. You open the Quran and you start reading, and you read chapter 6, verse 59, in English, you're going to see keys. The God belongs to keys. And then if you go to chapter 39 that I'm reading from now, in verse 63, it's the same thing. The God belongs to keys of the heavens and earth. Well, those are two separate words. Both are the same word. And I'm going to show you something. And I still share this with you before. You see this right here? This is the Quran. Mushaf. Okay? If you're reading this in Arabic, there's no misunderstanding between Mafatihu and Mukhalifu, because those would be the only words that you see. So you would have to know that the fast is the key and the call is the key, or you have to look it up. All right? So it's not going to confuse you. But if you read it, as I said in English, and if C-T-K-E-Y-S, you have no idea what Allah is saying different from chapter 6 to 59 and 39 to 63. Okay? I told you last week, my fast is full of mystery. Key. That's the key to a door. And I told you my key. Well, I'm sure it's a different key today. Not that one. So it's the message. That's the key to the door, the message. Okay? Different key. This key opens the closet. Okay? Two different keys, but still key. So what is Makalidu? Makalidu. Yeah, the key, but not key like key like they're supposed to. Makalidu are treasures. And some translators translate Mafati treasures also. But Makalidu means treasures that surround you. They're all around you. Makalidu means everything that encircles you. God, and on the earth, everything we're surrounded by of God is so all of these sciences, blessed phenomena, natural phenomena that you see, the Lord revealed to the prophet to tell him that everything that you see in your environment, in you, Makali, that's surrounding you, those are keys, treasures. And if you engage everything around you, God will open up those treasures for you. Yes, Allah said. Those who is dead who did not, the instructing servant of God, the ayat in that, the sign that is circled all around us, are the treasures all over the place, treasures from the heaven, treasures in the earth, treasures everywhere. If you ignore it, you're going to be the one losing. You will be the loser. So the logic says this. Or the justice. Man's progress in this world. You see a mankind. All people all over the world. Man's advancement and progress in this world comes from where? Comes from what? From the treasure that he's around us. There's nothing that we have in this life, nothing that's been a system in our life, the spirit of spiritual, that didn't come from the key, the treasure that God has put all around. Some of it works. No. You can go around with this. All right? But now, the next verse that I'm going to read to you, chapter 42, verse 12, well, let me read it and explain it. As the Quran does, this should be clear by this. Speaking of Makali, the surah, the verse that means mutual consultation. Surah An-Murahun Bayrahun. Mutual consultation of the informed, not the uninformed. Consultation. Verse 12. Lehu Makali Tu. Any word? From 39 to 53. The God belongs to Makali too. The key, treasure, that is circled and surround you on this thing. He enlarges on this distinction. It's definite. All of it belongs to God. And how much we get of it is also determined by God. He's the one who owns all of the treasures that's around every body of the earth. He enlarges it. And he restricts the sustenance of food so ever he is. Well, let's talk on this way. So we ask the question. How is Elon Musk the rich? Well, they say that, but I don't believe that. I think I believe, that's my opinion on the title. I think the richest person on earth, that don't live in the United States, that live in America. You know what I think they live in? Two countries. In Saudi Arabia or Qatar. All right, you can offer me, you can offer whatever you're in for. For us, it's not clear in Saudi Arabia. What I want to get across to you is this. Whatever Elon Musk possessed, whatever Crown Prince MBS possess. Whatever Warren Buffett possesses. Whatever Bill Gates possesses. Whatever Robert J. Smith possesses. Robert Smith possesses. My brother. So, whatever they have. And whatever you have. And I have. But you have. I lost it. It is the dog. Not yet. And I'm going to read what it is He Allah, He expands, He enlarges it, and He restricts it. Now look, Congress and elsewhere stands for everything, all things that support every things of life. Period. Physical. Social, intellectual, spiritual. The source of all gifts comes from Allah. He is bound to inexhaustible. You can't use it all up. You can't measure it. You can't say, well, you know, we have to make sure we only let the population. We have people that like the population go. And you know what their logic is? Their reason is the earth can't sustain 7 billion people. Why not? Because you want to control half of what the earth is. They got 8 people that control half of the resources on this earth. Well, that's why they keep saying there ain't enough to go around. We got too much. His body is inexhaustible. And he, God gives all. Now, nobody gets that now. Pay attention. Nobody is left out. Here's the other verse in the Quran, that says this material world. Remember, that Umukali too. The heaven and all of the treasures that encircle us, around us. And Allah says the material world. This is your Muslim. The material world is open to everybody. All right, shut up, huh? No. It's circling you. The material world is all around you. And I have put it down for you. Now, you got to make some efforts. You got to go for it. He does not solid, but he does not give it to all in the same measure. Because out of the fullness of his knowledge, he can judge that what is best for any of his people. Okay? That is an example. It comes to mind. I don't have written down anyway. Now, you ever heard of rich poor kids? Yes. Trust fund, baby. I'm not even trust fund. Oh, well, that's absolutely nothing. But because, let me share a story, because you don't know this person. I just give them this story. But one of my friends tells me, as a gentleman, from a rich boy, he did with a very, very wealthy person. Now, the friend I'm talking about is a Jewish friend of mine. And he said, the son of this rich man is a prince. And he wanted to do this with him. He said, well, the father told him, well, if you do, you're doing it at your own risk. And I'm not going to back him up if he loses the money. He said, I give him, now, he, a lot of money, he took me, please. He said, he's telling me the story. He said, the father told him, I give him $1 million to $2 million allowance per year. That's his allowance. How it's paid for, how it's paid for. And he said, the father told him, all he does is go spend the money on his girlfriend. So Allah knows that if he gives certain people too much money, too much wealth, it might destroy them. It might be the cause of them going straight to the hell. So he said to the prophet, "I laud it for whosoever I choose. Unlimited, inexhaustible, you can't blame God. Ain't no such thing as having a deficit to God. There's no deficit when it comes to Allah. No. Man has deficit, not God. There's no deficit. Ain't no shortage. God's resources. So God says, I get it, I spend it, I laud it for whosoever I choose. And then I restrict it." And I only gave you some small examples now. You could extrapolate this out and take it all the way out. The nations and countries and societies down in Central America. You can take it all over the world. All right? But at the end of it, in the final analysis of this thing, the resources of God are inexhaustible. They are encircling all of us, around us all the time. And Allah says, He will give it to those who enlarge their suffering. And the scholars explain it and say, God is wise. He knows who to put his resources in there. They can manage it. They can take care of it. They can even grow it. And they won't harm themselves, but no one else will. To him belongs the Lord of the Lord, he do. People, treasures all around. Of the skies and the earth. He enlarges it. Yes, the food out of the earth. The resources. He enlarges and restricts the resources. The whole forever he will. For he knows full well what will change. Right? So now let me go to chapter 10 of the beautiful Quran of the Peace Part 2. The book I read out of the Matthew. Muhammad. Yeah, this is on the screen. Muhammad, the world famous. It's going to talk Muhammad. And one of his followers, some of them, were able to do with the treasure that was all around them. I shared a few times last week on page 312. Shared with you the last one I gave you last week was Brother Clearly Adam. As it's possible, it could be attribute of the beautifier as Yamil came with a fashion design, cosmetic. Wardrobe, the spa concept, hygienic products like soap, mask, perfume, lipstick, and toothpaste. Right? Attributed to the Muslim. Now, here's another person. As cutlery engaged in the business. As cutlery, J-A-C-A-R-I, thought ways to make ritual cleansing more efficient by using mechanical water pumps and became the father, the Muslim, I'm a model of the father, as the son, became the father of modern engineering. Inspired by Prophet Muhammad's admonition not to waste water. Did you all know that? We're not to waste water. When you make ablution, all we'll do, use as less amount of water as you can. You're not to waste water. That's what the prophet taught. Don't waste the water, even if you live beside the wrong street. Have definitely built an iron robot, which is sent just in the form of a navy, it has the right amount of water necessary for heating water. Okay. Dear people, like I said last week, you turn the faucet on in your house, the kitchen, shower, bathtub, a lot of that stuff. That came from the Muslims. Turn the water in the shower or in the car, alhamdulillah. Praise God. We all said it to Brother Al Jaffe for creating first pump. And the first iron pump to pump the water. You hear it, Muslim? Stop turning on your pump. It's out of quality. That's the RBI. Built on the country. He built on the constitution of the kingdom. Hey, wait a minute. What did you just say, Mary? I'm repeating. In the 7th century, El Farabi built on the constitution of Medina to create bold new concepts in political philosophy. And European intellectuals threatened him as the second master to revive his sleep or else. As part of the argument, a merit-based self-government with the master. You are your ruler. Yeah, you had to be in the hand of the Lord. He's going to be unfruitful. Oh, you will be. That's the time of the whole time. So as part of the father says, no, you ain't the ruler over no one. You are your own ruler. Self-government. And you are responsible for yourself and responsible for your soul. And for allowing you to the person, chapter 5, verse 105. So before the United States Constitution, you know what I'm trying to say. It's this. Just Google Constitution of Medina. And when you start reading the Constitution of Medina, and I'm gonna bring it into your mind one day. I'm gonna bring you the charter and read the Constitution. I'm gonna still have that as a part of our lecture going forward, inshallah. God willing. And you will see concepts. Talking about cousin God, Constitution of Congress, boy. You will see concepts in what the prophet wrote in Medina, you would see parallels to it in the Constitution of the United States of America in the 17th century. The creation of universities. And look, all they do, resources all around you. I'm almost done, first part. The creation of universities that standardize systems of scholarship, impart, drove the outpouring of innovative thinking during the golden age of Muslim civilization. And this is now, the 9th century, a wealthy businesswoman, you bet, Fatima al-Sisri, and our sister's out here, right? Why, in the 9th century, a wealthy Muslim business, yes, it's just a wealthy, rich businesswoman. Like Lady Khadija was the time of the book. His wife. Fatima and Sisri, that's how H.R.I. established the first university from around there. El Qadawiyya in Fez, Morocco. The first Muslim university, brother, was not established on Amazon. No, I didn't know that. Honestly, I didn't. That's what I mean. I said, oh, no, I got to share that. Oh, you showed me this experience. I'm talking about in the Muslim world. I'm talking about in the Muslim world. First university was in Fez, Morocco. It was a rich Muslim sister that is found. Her philanthropic commitment to education was inspired. You know it is. That's why y'all always keep an open mind. Nobody knows everything. I like to say under title 16, I'm a student in religion. Her philanthropic commitment to education was inspired by the example of Ashley Sass, his opponent, the brilliant female scholar appointed by Francis Moore. Rather, peace of funding as the head educator in Medina. Taliban in Afghanistan, are you all listening out there? Pakistan, you know what I'm saying? from Afghanistan. They denied education to them. Pakistan. Everybody know about the young sister that got shot, won the Nobel Prize? Denying education and access to education to young girls. Un-Islamic. Muhammad the Prophet, according to what I'm reading in this book, Muhammad the World Changes, the person that he put over education in Medina was a sister named Ashifi, and Abdullah. Now, again, not a male in the time of Muhammad the Prophet. The director of education was a sister in Medina. I didn't know that. Can't be now going to be Muhammad. But he became the leader of the inmates of Islam and just a few years down the road. He appointed, I tell you by the number, Dr. Zakira Muhammad as the director of education for our Shah Muhammad schools in the United States of America. He was following the example of Prophet. Muhammad did it first in Medina. So you brothers in Afghanistan and Pakistan, go back and read the history of Muhammad the Prophet. And, now let me get a little close to something right quick. And it's this right here. Okay? One of the best, most excellent online Islamic learning curriculum training, teaching is an organization called, that I'm familiar with, and associated with, Islamic Learning Institute.org. Dear Ahmed and Sister Anissa Dewan. You all out there, if you want to plug your children in, you don't have school, for your young children, want to learn the Quran, learn Arabic, learn grammar, whatever it is, go to Islamic Learning Institute. This was started by them south of my head. I'm forgiving to the grandson. And I was one of their, I was their class program speaker about 3 weeks ago. And the level of master, PhD, from our community, from young sisters, and a few brothers, I was amazed at. I had no idea that it was on that high level. It's the best online Islamic education program. If you don't have schools in the city, we don't have one here in Jacksonville yet. Parents who have children, online Islamic Learning Institute.org. See, this is digital education now. She tells you about the digital information. This is digital education. Get online, and you can do it from the comfort of your home, and not only just for children, for adult education also. Excellent program, the best that I've seen. Somalia's good program also with education. But and by the way, this is Manny headed up. And I'm thinking. I wanted to the university was open and college. The university was open to students of all backgrounds. And instructors were chosen on merit, including both of them, who studied at Al-Qadawiyyin University, founded by that wealthy sister, Fatima al-Zahra, in Fez, Morocco. The Pope went there. Mark me. The Jewish philosopher may not have even served on it. Okay. Did you hear that? The Muslims weren't described. Why? Because Muhammad the Prophet said, none is the law of prophecy. In sight of a believer, they take hold of it wherever they find. So the Jewish philosopher may not have been, he's a top scholar in history. He was a member of the faculty in Al-Qadawiyyin and Fez, Morocco. Muslims did not discriminate when it came to education. The Jewish philosopher Maimonides, many women took advantage of these education opportunities. An astonishing 40% of the ulama, eminent Islamic scholars, during the golden age were women. This is Muhammad the Prophet. Equal education. 40% of the learned scholars during the golden age of the Muslim world. Women. And back then, formerly enslaved. Oh, here we go. A formerly enslaved African named Hamad. H-A-M-A-L. It is not this. A formerly enslaved African named Hamad herself not only received an education in Al-Qadi, but she rose to become the first woman to serve as chief justice. Qadi Al-Qadi, Tommy Brown, the Supreme Court, he had Supreme Court, who was chief justice. Again, with God's name, the merciful, benefactor, the merciful Redeemer. May his peace and his blessing be upon his noble and generous message of Muhammad from the Lord and the Lord. Be upon our prophet. Again, greetings to all of you. Assalamu alaikum. Now, I have my book here for money. But what I want to share with you today, I just look at the time. So excuse me with that. Pardon me. And I don't want to rush this off of this, but he don't pretend because he doesn't know I read this book here. Still learning to excellent book of reading called The Death of Money on page 166, 167. I'm going to leave my marker right here because I want to read to you, but it's going to take more time. I don't want to rush it. On the nature of the dollar, the nature of the dollar, the nature of money. I'm going to put my marker right there and take that. But I'll have no time to be justice to that information. So in concluding, I want to bring to your attention, always I like to share with me, for anything else. Now, here's a brother. Never heard of him. I just learned about him yesterday from Sister Lizette. Saw he was from Soldier Farm. From Soldier. Now, this is this guy. This is important. I never heard of his name. His name is Freddie Stevens. So it's Freddie Stevens. Like he's head to the head. He's doing what he's doing. I did. But I don't know him now. But Allah intends something. Hey. Nobody can stop it. Nobody. Just keep that. Nobody can stop it. Fred and Peggy was a dumpster baby. Abandoned by his mother at birth. I'm looking for you. Now he's the CEO of a $52 million company. When he went to school and went to Florida, classmates used to put it, all of a custom made the building. It's custom all. Yes, I'm building it. I'm a dummy. You can look him up. Family came along, picked him up, adopted him. No mother, no father, adopted parents, left out of trash can. Always. Where? when he was 9 years old. Nine. He became fascinated by the computer. Had an old computer, started working on it, messing around with it, 9 years old. And that experience, and I'm not going to be all over the people this time I'm going to get. Studying on a computer, mastering a computer, he went on to establish a telecommunications empire. He made a GPS tracking program in 2012. Sold it to a company for $2.2 million when he was 23 years old. He developed a GPS tracker built in a shoe. He put it in the shoe of his stepfather who had dementia. He wanted to keep track of his stepfather, so he developed this GPS tracker system. Put it in the bottom of the shoe for all the stepfather to do was to lead into it and study to call him on the cell phone. Designed the GPS track, put it in the shoe for people with dementia. They get lost, he could track it. The fact is that he could dial the phone and he told him to just answer when your shoe rang. And even when he answered, he knew where he was because of that GPS track that he designed and developed and was put into his stepfather. A line long as it's the something, don't forever keep it. It's more about that, but I'm done with the episode here. Thanks for life. All right. Now, welcome home. That's close to home, too. Especially right up the street. The welcome to home, right here in the message. I got a nice message. This made my day yesterday, Brandon, your brother, Nico. And I haven't seen Nico here for tomorrow. I'll tell you about what he sent me. We're praying. I've got this yesterday. And he's a recent convert that you all out on Facebook, YouTube, and y'all. I'll give my contact line to a lot of my brothers out of the community. Brandon's younger brother that embraced religion about a few years or so ago here. And he hit on the floor, like you all. He listened, he hear what I say, and I said something in here. He heard it, took advantage of it, with it. Now, here's what he wrote to me. I want to thank you, Imam, for the information that you gave us about construction ready. You all remember that? Well, I brought that information here more than once. A project that was started by the Jacksonville Jaguars, supported by the Jacksonville Jaguars here in Jacksonville. Our young brother stood on the floor in Juma. He heard, he took advantage of it. He sent me the note yesterday, and I want to thank you for that information because it's a good experience. Oh, no, he said it's a great experience and a learning opportunity for me. I thought a new career for myself. He started on August 28th, graduates next week. And as soon as he graduates, now it's 8 months, as soon as he graduates, he gets placed on a construction site.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
Alan. Alhamdulillah. Unfortunately, the conference call line is experiencing a technical problem, as you can hear, and there is no way for Imam Yahya Abdullah nor myself to correct the platform upon which we are broadcasting. But we are grateful to our beloved Imam Yahya Abdullah and the community of Masjid Muhammad of Jacksonville, Florida, for their sharing their Juma with us here on American Muslim 360. During the conference call of a Juma, I'm at home. And when we were asked to stand for prayer, I stand for Salat. I follow the imam that is giving the Juma, although I'm not physically present there. I complete my obligation of observing the Juma. Allah says to us in the Quran, wheresoever you are, turn your faces toward this house when the call to prayer is made. Wheresoever you are, rush to the Juma. So that is what I do. Praise be to Allah. And I would suggest to you, if you choose to perform the two rakahs of Salat, that would be fine. Or if you choose to perform the Zuhr prayer, Allah is accepting of all praise and all worship. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. So we want to move ahead with the broadcast. You're listening to Share Your Juma and the commentary of Imam Waisuddin Muhammad. Let me pause now for a public service announcement, and then we shall move forward to broadcasting the commentary of Imam Waisuddin Muhammad. I ask you, yes, first let me introduce myself. I am Kareem Hamid, radio station manager for American Muslim 360. All praise is due to Almighty God, Allah. We are grateful for your support and your presence here on American Muslim 360. We shall pause now for some important public service announcements, and afterward we shall move forward with the broadcast of the commentary of Imam Waisuddin Muhammad. I ask you, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Family, community, city, state, country, and more. Everything starts with you. The individual, you. What is the character of you? Are you a book? Can you be read? Join us every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a wonderful hour of information being shared by you, with you, for you, the you in all of us. I am Martha Naila Abdullah, and I am your host for Community Developmental Stages. Again, every Friday evening, from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., be there.
Alhamdulillah, and we are back. Praise be to Almighty God Allah. We look forward to the broadcast of Community Developmental Stages, hosted by Martha Naila Abdullah, the Executive Director for the Community-Wide Shura Conference. We shall move ahead with the broadcast. We shall transition to the commentary of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad. Praise be to Allah. And the address that we want to share with you is entitled, Lecture on Community Life. Lecture on Community Life. So may we all enjoy and benefit from the commentary of our beloved Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad. May Allah forgive him his sins and grant him the highest station in Jannah, in the paradise. We shall begin the tape.
All right. Turned out to be a beautiful day. Seeing all a big number of getting together like you all, with the right minds and heart and spirit, Allah brings the sun out. Yeah, there's a hadith. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. There's a hadith. It says, the people were discussing rain that came, and they needed rain very badly. They were suffering drought. And some of the people were saying that the rain came because of scientific calculation in the heavens. And a bigger number was saying the rain came because Allah answered that prayer. So it got to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, prayers and peace be upon him. And he said, those who said that the rain came as an answer to the prayers of the believers, they are the ones who said it correctly. Now, excuse me a minute, I have to go and greet my friend over here, and I'll be right back. Sure. So, praise be to Allah. The brother I just spoke to, I remember him in the days of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Nation of Islam. And he stood out there, something about certain people. I look at him and something in their face, in their look, sticks with me, sticks with me. So he was one of those brothers. And I know he helped my health. He suggested me taking certain remedies, natural fruit remedies, for my health. And it helped me a lot. So I had to go speak to my brother. You know, in the Quran, Allah says, God says, the believers are the friends of one another, are the friends of one another. And that's what I want to emphasize to you all for a few minutes that I'll be here with you now. If you say you're a brother of a Muslim, that's not street talk. That kind of expression, thousands of years old, even before Muhammad the Prophet, those who believe in God, they called each other brother and sister. Abraham, is it given in the Bible? Prophet Abraham, a son of MBT, he was singing with his wife. And he spoke of her as his sister. He said, this is my sister. Later, those who were not of his following, they said, this man lied. He was with his wife, and he said, this is my sister. But he didn't lie, because my wife, wherever she is, I left a long time ago, and she's somewhere with her beautiful self. She is my sister also. He said, sister, of the wife, sister. You know, Abraham also was called a friend of God. Friend of God. Khalil. Khalilullah. The friend of God. And in the Quran, says the believers are friends, the friends of one another. The plural of Sadiq. One friend is Sadiyati. Who understood what I just said? Who was Sadiyati? Yeah, we got a few. Yeah? He, no, he is my friend. That's right. Who was he? Who was Sadiyati? He is my friend. The plural is Asdikar. The plural. Friends. And the believers are Asdikar. They're friends. It's from Sadiyat. One friend, three, many friends, of the car. And we are fraternity of friends. We are fraternity of brothers, and we are fraternity of friends. Of friends. Because you know, God says the Quran, the believers are brethren. The believers are brethren. Ikhwa. Brethren. From us. One brother. Us. Yehua, brethren, a fraternity of brethren, not just brethren, brethren. Because brothers is a different word than Yehua. Yehua means an organized group of brothers. Yehua, a fraternity of brothers. So we are fraternity of brothers, and we are fraternity of friends. And the word friend in this language that we are coming, giving you now from Quran and from Muhammad the Prophet Sunnah, prayer and peace be on him. The word in his origin comes from truth. 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 We say, Sadaq Allah Ladeen. Sadaq Allah Ladeen. God the Mightiest spoke the truth. Spoke the truth. Sadaq. Spoke the truth. And we say he gave Sadaq. So the same truth is charity. And we are a fraternity of the deep. From Sith, same word, origin. Sith means truth. And God speaks of other Sithin. The position of truth or the stand of truth. Other Sithin. See, I take the stand of truth, Father Sithin. Upright. Like this. Father Sithin. From the same word. Look how we use this word. There's so many different connections. Truth can't. If you have truth, if you give it to somebody, that's your best charity. That's your best charity. So sadaqa is a charity. Also, comes from the same word, same meaning. And if you have a truthful relationship with somebody, it's good. If you have a false relationship with somebody, it's bad. So the first qualification for a truthful, for a good relationship with anybody is truth. Be truthful in your relationship and be loyal to your relationship. It all depends on you being truthful. Truthful. Truth. Know the truth, for the truth shall make you free. Truth is also a condition for true freedom, too, huh? Yeah, powerful is word. And the believers are a fraternity of friends, and the word means come from the word Sith. This means truth and friend all in one. It means truth and friend all in one word. Sith. You know, you can't get people together and you don't have anything unless you're sincere. Or you got to be really good at deceiving people. And they'll catch up with you sooner or later. As one great man said, you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. Yes. So, we used to be brothers. We didn't join the Honorable Elijah Muhammad for money. We joined the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to give him money. So he could help us realize what he promised. We didn't join in for money. But things changed in the 60s, middle and late 60s. People started joining because they were black and proud. Not because they wanted to obey God. If we joined on Elijah Muhammad because we thought with him we could be true to our God. Yes. We were disappointed. Didn't have faith in the white man's religion, his world and his religion. And we have plenty of reasons to not accept it. We rejected his world and his religion. Prophet Elijah Muhammad cleared up our heads, opened our eyes and cleared up our heads, and we say, oh, I'm through with this. Left the church, left the white man as authority over your life. Yes? And we did it without somebody offering us money. No money. We came to give him money. See, if this is what you want for us, we give you our money. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad made material progress in time, and we were very, very happy. Yes, many of you are still here with me right now. You were back there. And we were very, very happy. We were happy to see one another. And we look forward to Savior's Day once a year. Not just to hear the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, but also to see one another. And to socialize with sister from South. We from the East Coast. But we know a sister in the South. We'd be expecting to see her and her family. Meet them there on Savior's Day. Meet our friends from different parts of the United States on Savior's Day. And we would be in the restaurant, eating and talking, socializing. We would be around like right now on the premises, eating and talking and socializing. We were a fraternity of friends. A fraternity of friends rooted in truth. Huh? Yeah. And giving charity, even though we were poor. That's what we want to get back. Thank you. Peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Praise be to Allah that we're going to address a lecture on community life. Praise be to Almighty God. It was very heartwarming, praise be to Allah, to hear how we should feel about each other as we are a fraternity of brothers and sisters, not just through blood relationship, but we are a fraternity connected to a principle. And that principle is La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. The principle that there is only one God and that there is nothing worthy of worship except the one Lord. And also that Muhammad, whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed Almighty God's most humble servant and most noble and generous messenger. Praise be to Allah. We shall move forward with another address of Imam Muwahhidin Muhammad. That lecture was on community. Praise be to Allah. But I want to, inshallah, share with you another address of Imam Muwahhidin Muhammad entitled The Super Ego. The Super Ego. Praise be to Almighty God. Allah, may we benefit from the hearing.
Jewish and Hebrew scriptures, prophets and scriptures, our race history was foreshadowing. The most talked about plight of people would no longer be the plight of the Hebrews, would be the plight of the African American people or the black people. And it would be no more of their prophets that people would be talking about and looking at. It would be Frederick Douglass, Dr. Martin Luther King, and even Elijah Muhammad that the people would be looking at. And they would say, here is a sign that God exists. Here is a sign that God is a God of justice. Say, look, they brought our forefathers or the forefathers of these people. See, we were there and others were there and others. They brought the forefathers of these people to this land and completely separated them from all knowledge of their past to the heart and soul and conscience of the white rulers until he caused them to repent. And they say, we can't continue this. The slave must be emancipated. Yes, it would be told in that light. It would be told in that context, in the context of Scripture. I read about the moaning and groaning of the Hebrews and how God heard their moaning and groaning. And they were told to make straw, and not even to use bricks. But a hell of a thing to tell somebody to do. No, probably told to make more, make bricks. They were told to make bricks, but just with mud, no straw. And you know you had to have the two together. That simple way of making bricks back there, you couldn't make it out. You had to put the mortar, the straw, and they had to hold the mud together. So they were told that, you know, make it without straw, you know. But when I look at what we were told in this country, from day one, even to now, I think our sad story deserves more attention than their sad story. For at least they were expect a deliverer. Even had an idea of how that deliverer should look, what kind of idea he should have in his mind, what his interest should be, and they had a belief that he would be an opposition to oppress Egypt. They had an idea of Moses before there was a Moses. We had no idea of a Frederick Douglass until there was a Frederick Douglass, because there was nothing for us. Very special people. Now, why am I telling you all this? So you can think yourself special with God. So you can think yourself special with God. Oh, yes. But we don't have a prophet in the prophetic scheme or in the classical scheme of prophets, because that means just saying the reality means reality. We are just we are afraid of people. We are afraid of people in this field. You know what we will do? Now, just to throw you off so you don't go crazy. I have not told you that so that you will have some arrogance, some high nose for other people. No. When God comes to a people, he comes to a people that calls divine wisdom and divine plan orders that. Yes. He didn't come just because your sickness is worse. Your death was more pitiful. Oh, that's not the only reason. He looked at what affects his will, what influences, what interferes with his will, what interferes with his life reaching his people, his creation, his dependence on humans, and then he responds and advances his plan. So why have I said this? Why have I pointed and compared our history, our suffering, and have said that a God of justice should come to us, should give us, if that God heard the suffering of other people and came to them? Why have I said that? I said that to say this. God has come to us. God has responded to us. God has chosen us. Chosen us for what? Chosen us to send the message again. It's been sent by prophets over and over again, especially by Muhammad, to those who would take and separate or isolate a group of people from the family of man for mistreatment, for servitude, etc. The message comes again that no matter how elaborate your scheme, no matter how treacherous your scheme, how deceitful your scheme, how complex, how hard that you may use to hold people down and deny them admittance. The God of heaven and earth sees you long before you start your thing. And already have a plan to undo your work before you even began your work. And now God will take that you put down and find in it someone worthy for him to embrace. Don't think God embrace a black man or a black woman just because they've been kicked in the butt so many times, or just because they've been rejected so many times, or just because they have so many stripes from lashes and inflictions, you know, from white man's rule or something. No, that's not what brings God to think of a black man. When God see a black man in that state, crushed and beaten and denied, rejected and cut off from all understanding, but he's yet trying to be a decent human being, then God picks him up. And he said, here's the thing that you reject. Here's the thing that you single out for abuse. The thing that you cut off from his humanity. I will take this thing you cut off from humanity. And because you don't have as much conscience as it has in it, I'm going to raise it up to be your example, to be your model, to be your father. Oh, yes, we have been chosen. We have been chosen because of the circumstances, because of our history, because of the circumstances in our life. We have been chosen to be raised up and be models for the world. It is going to come, whether I preach, whether Jesse Jackson preach. We don't have to preach. You will preach. Your children will preach. It's going to come.
Praise be to Allah. That was an address entitled The Super Ego. Praise be to Allah. I want to now return to the studio board and to lend a small commentary to what the man just presented, that we are grateful for Allah placing the Quran in our midst, and we are grateful for Allah placing the model human being in our midst. That is the Prophet Muhammad. He has given him to us as an example of the highest form of humanity. So I'm saying that in relationship to that, when we read scripture, you have to be able to see yourself in scripture. You have to be able to see your circumstance, your situation in scripture. If not, then what good, what benefit will the scripture be to you if you do not insert yourself, your situation, and your circumstance in what Almighty God revealed? I'll stop right there. And if there's any of you that have any commentary you would like to say, press one on your phone. I will unmute your mic. Let me share with you another public service announcement. And then we shall select another address of Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad. So I ask you, yes, you're listening to American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. And this is the broadcast of Sharia Jummah and the commentary of Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi. I am your host, Kareem Hamid, along with you this wonderful day of Jummah. Praise be to Allah. So I ask you, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah.
We don't run from challenges. We overcome any obstacle. We don't cower in the face of can't or too difficult. We find a way to make it happen through faith, work, and the power of the good internet. We don't seek results that are just ordinary, because a believer is supposed to be extraordinary. Who are we? We are the volunteers of the CWSC, ready, willing, and able to lend to the Creator a loan that will be added to and multiplied many times over. Think you have what it takes to be a CWSC volunteer? Then register with the NCNRD. Your talent, experience, and knowledge. Want to learn more? Visit CWSC.us. Look for the NCNRD today, and you too can help unleash and harness the power of the group intellect. And together, we can remake the world. This has been a public service announcement from Imam Abdul Hakim Abdullah, American Muslim 360 Radio, number one Islamic radio station in the nation. As-salamu alaykum.
And we are back. Praise be to Allah. May Allah grant our beloved brother Abdul. May Allah grant him the home in the paradise. Very strong brother. He was the radio station manager for America Muslim 360 for a number of years. He has since transitioned. I see someone has raised their hand. I'm opening up the mic of 718-344. As-salamu alaykum wa jumu'ah mubarak.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yama jumu'ah mubarak and jumu'ah mubarak. Alhamdulillah, rahmi alameen. I would like to know the number to the public announcement. I'd like to share an announcement. But I would also like to share it with others as well. Can I share the announcement? May I share the announcement?
Oh, by all means, please do. That is one of the advantages of American Muslim 360. Yes, ma'am, to share the good news.
Yes, sir.
Please, go ahead if you will, please.
Sir. Okay, it's in the Muslim Journal as well, but many people don't subscribe to the Muslim Journal, so I try to informed. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Clara Muhammad School of Nashville 52nd Annual Benefit Dinner will be tomorrow, Saturday, September 16th, at 6:30 p.m. It's going to be in Nashville, Tennessee. And they're going to have, this is their 52nd annual benefit dinner. And the tickets are $100. And if you want to contact, let's see, where is that contact number? For anyone who wants more information, if they don't have the Muslim Journal, they can contact Sister Mahasin. She's the principal there. Oh, goodness. No, I don't have that number in front of me. Okay, I have it. Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Allah. The number would be 615-485-3488. That's for the Clara Muhammad School of Nashville 52nd Annual Benefit Dinner. And if anyone can make it, alhamdulillah, Rabbi Alameen, and if you're not able, please send a donation, whatever you can afford. Don't hurt yourself. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you for listening. And allow me to announce that. Thank you, Brother Kareem. Amen, Kareem. I'm
sorry. Amen. Alhamdulillah. Thank you, my sister, for sharing that good news and that honest effort. Praise be to Allah. Fundraising for to establish Islamic education. Praise be to Allah. We are grateful to offer this service of America Muslim 360 so that we can communicate with each other. And you have utilized this station, praise be to Allah, and inshallah others, to publicize the excellent effort being put forward for fundraising for the Sister Clara Muhammad School. Thank you, my sister. In Nashville, Tennessee, yes. Am I correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
Tomorrow.
Would you, yes, ma'am, would you give some contact information as to where someone can call or either can send their funding to for that occasion?
Yes, sir, I can do that. It's for the benefit dinner, it's $100. But if you can't do $100, as I said, don't hurt yourself. Send something, but they can send it to Clara Muhammad School of Nashville to Sister Mahasin. She's the principal there. 615-485-3488 or email claramuhammadschool@gmail.com. Anything you can send, you know Allah's in charge and would be appreciated. And I thank you all. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you, my sister. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. So we want to now move forward with another address of Imam Wahidin Muhammad. Inshallah. Let me bring it up. Yes. The subject of this address is message to all people of the world. Message to all the people of the world. Praise be to Allah. May we all enjoy and embrace that concept that the Quran was revealed for all people of the world and our Prophet Muhammad was raised up and elevated as an example for all the people of the world. Praise be to Allah. So let me begin this address, and may we all benefit from the hearing, inshallah.
The Quran was revealed, given to him is the last of the prophets, the seal of the prophet, God's messenger, God's servant as his messenger. He is our example for good behavior and for good character and for productive work that Allah created every human being for. Hence God says, Muhammad is a model, is an excellent model for any who believes in God and believes in being accountable to God. This is God says to us in our Holy Book of Quran. So Muhammad is not just a model for Muslims, he's a model for human beings, for all people, a model for any who believes in God and believes in being accountable to God. And Allah, God says of him again, so that you know he's for all people, God says, Muhammad is a mercy to all mankind. Rahmatan lil-nas wa rahmatan lil-alameen. A mercy to all the world. This is Muhammad. So we cannot make this religion small. It's not small. Maulana al-Duri, perhaps the most popular of the recent reformers, scholars who reform, who bring Muslims back from deviations, who bring Muslims back from a dull life to have enthusiasm, drive, reformer. Maulana Maududi said on Mount Arafat some years back, I happened to be there myself, long time ago, must have been 40 years ago, and Maulana Maududi learned that the son of Elijah Muhammad was making a hajj, and it was on Mount Arafat at the time. So he told his people to go to the son of Elijah Muhammad and tell him, I invite him to come to my tent. I did. I came to his tent. Pakistanis always have big numbers in the house. I came to his tent And when I walked up to him, he greeted me and asked me to sit near him. I sat near him. Then he began to speak to those who were in his tent. There were many. And he said, Islam is a religion or an ideology for the reformation or the reform of the whole world. And that means Islam is a universal message. It's for all people. It's for all lands, all nations, all people. And if we understand the Christianity, it is the same. It is a message to all people of the world. And the Jewish scripture, though it's not propagated like Christians and Muslims propagate our religion, our faith, but Judaism also is a religion, a guidance from God to all people. To all people, not just Jews, to all people. And it was Judaism that was extended to the world of the Europeans and others, to the whole world, by Jewish leaders. As a result, there's a new mission, a New Testament. So we can't separate these groups. We speak of them as Abrahamic faith. We all identify Adam as our first father in the human nature, and we identify Abraham. Ibrahim in our holy book, Abraham as the second father. And these three faiths identify Father Abraham and Father Adam. Actually, if we understand it, Father Adam extends as a creation, he extends into Abraham on another plane, and a second father comes out of him. Second father comes out of Adam. Out of the essence of Adam comes the second father. And that's understandable if we understand Jesus in Christian teachings being the second Adam. Second Adam. We may differ somewhat with the number where it's placed, but Jesus is second in the ascension, and the ascension, or the essence of the human soul, ascending upward to gain more and all of his life that God wants for him. So it is life expanding, life rising up, as God says in Peter, created us as a plant. A plant is first a little seed like a dead thing under the soil or under the earth, and it comes out and it grows upward until it reaches its fullness or its maturity or its fullness as a life, completeness as a life. And God says in the parable of human life is the parable of a plant, or that of a plant. Meaning thoughts from nothing. You can't hardly see it. It's embedded in the earth. Our children, they start in our mother's bodies and the bodies of their mothers, and we don't even know they're there until she tells us. And we don't see it for 9 months until it reaches the stage when it wants to get out of that small confine and get into this big world out, then we see it. And it kind of turns over just before it comes out. It's sitting up. And then it turns over, pushes its head down and comes right out. Puts its head down and comes right out. Says, unless you become as little babies. That means we have to stop standing up so straight and so rigid. And we have to humble ourselves to the fullest extent before our Maker, the Lord Creator of everything. That's what religion is all about. It is about being complete in your recognition of God. If you recognize Him, then be complete in that recognition. Don't put your small-time thing before your duty to God. Yes, our religion says in the Holy Book, in our Holy Book, save yourselves and your families from fire. This fire is the fire of human passion. Good writers called poets, they have, since time began, I guess, for writers, they have always referred to human passion as fire. And our singers and our reading time, they sang songs of that fire. And they call love a flame, a strong passion, a strong appetite. We have to save ourselves from the fire. Now, is there something else? Man can become scientific and know all about human nature. He knows the science of blood, bones, the heart, everything, the eye, the science of sexuality, and a fine woman can make him nothing but a dog.
Myself to everybody. So it's a private thing. If
It helps me preserve my privacy. And I want to look good in my clothing. Well, you buy nice clothing, it should. You want to look good in your clothing. But what we have to understand is that the first clothing is the clothing of human life. Human life. Human life in its innocence and in its purity. Human life in its innocence and in its purity. No wonder the question was asked to Adam in Genesis of the Bible, who told you you were naked? And in our Quran, is reference to the same situation where God says, and it was the shaitan, the devil, the first deceiver, and the worst of all deceivers. It was that one that seduced you and your mate to come out of the original clothing that God put you in. It says, and that was the clothing of righteousness. The clothing of righteousness. So what is that saying? Righteousness is not something a preacher has to give you, preaching the Bible. Righteousness is something that you were created with. You were created to be righteous, right? Righteous. Righteousness is your nature. It's an inherent quality that we are born with. The need and the drive to be correct, truthful, clean, decent, trustworthy, righteous, righteousness, sincere. Yes, that's all in the baby, in the nature of the baby's nature. When the baby's born, he's born already with all that. There was a time in the history of criminology in the United States that I read as a student studying for this job. When criminology in the United States had taken a backward move and was believing, if it didn't last long, believing that if they would sterilize, kill the nature to reproduce in the criminal, kill it by sterilizing them, that they would save society from criminals that would be born from criminals. They soon established that that was incorrect and false. And they said that criminology cannot come from a parent to a child. So it's learned, not inborn. It's not born with the baby. It's learned from the world, learned in the world. So many of us perhaps are not living to go to heaven, but you should be. And let me tell you something. You've already been in heaven. When you were in your mother, you were in heaven. And when you came before the world, punished you. Unless it bad influences on you, you were in heaven. And whether you believe it or not, it took me all these years, but I'm in heaven. I was in heaven as a baby before the world influenced my thinking and my nature, and I'm in heaven again because I found the way back to heaven. And when you hear God say, and to him you must return. He only means return to the person that he created. Return means, like I said, I wish my child would come back. You're talking about one who left the church, or one who left the mosque, the temple, or whatever. And it hurts you that they're gone, and they're leaving that lifestyle that you love them in, make you feel as though you lost them. He says, I just pray God all the time that my child will come back to me. So you mean come back to that life that made him pleasant in your eyes and made you so that you didn't have to worry so much about his well-being. Yes, you want him to return to that. So we have to get rid of a lot of mystery. Mystery wastes time. This world is too fast, going too fast, for us to be held up with mystery. Heaven, where is heaven? We know where heaven is when we understand what the meaning of heaven is. We think of the heavens and the sky. We look up, the sky. What does that mean? Heaven is more advanced than all that I see around here. Heaven is elevated high. Elevated high. Heaven is ecstatic high. High in the sense of meaning, substance, and also quality. Quality. So if you can accept this for me on this day in the city that I was born in. You all, some of you all want to take away my birthright. Oh, he'd rather come to Chicago. He was a scholar. That's his home. I thought the place where a child was born is also his home. And he should never lose that home. Yes. So, yes, I was born in Detroit, and Detroit is my home. And my father was redeemed in Detroit. And became a new person, a new man. And did wonderful things and earned the title Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Yes. And I'm just continuing his good work. He says his main job is to put us in a dress. And he said a decent dress. Now that you have heard me comment on what is the real meaning of dress, he means put you in a decent lifestyle. Put you in an honorable, decent lifestyle. Now, some tricks of psychology begin concerning dress might begin for us with the sisters wearing the dress that I see you wearing right now, the headpiece and the dress, white long dress, covering her whole body except her face. But for the brothers, it began with shine your shoes. Do not come to the temple with shoes that are not shine. And if we tell you while we're searching you, and you know we're going to be up close to you to search you, and you know you're not going to get into the meeting without being searched, if we smell you, we might send you home and tell you to take a bath. And put a crease in those pants. Respect yourself. And respect this house that you're coming to. Wear your decent clothes. Now, we thought that was all about black nationalism, Nation of Islam style. But no, when you read the Quran, God says, and wear your beautiful apparel at every place and time of prayer or message. That's what he says. So that's also a requirement in Islam before this broad and honorably like Muhammad asked us to clean up ourselves and wear our beautiful dress when we come to prayer or when we come to the temple for service or for worship. What I'm saying to you is if we had a lot of help from this to Quran and from the honorable Elijah Muhammad, we had a lot of help to get where we are today. A lot of help in more ways than you know. A lot of help to your leader now that you say is your leader, is W.D. Muhammad. I call him my imam too, Imam W.D. Muhammad. We have a lot of help to get him where he is now, and to bring him along a path of progression and progress to come into the Quran not as an import from Saudi Arabia or from Egypt or Pakistan or somewhere, but as a natural growth in the soil of the United States of America, made suitable for that growth by W.D. Farrar and Elijah Muhammad. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad put us in a new dress. There was a student at the time he was doing his dissertation for his PhD. His name is Asian, the Asian Udom. He was African. Long time ago, this was before Malcolm got popular. And he asked Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he said, "For my dissertation that I'm writing for PhD, can I interview some of the ministers and some of the regular followers?" Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave him permission. He interviewed me, he interviewed other ministers, he interviewed Minister James Jamal. Before he passed, he called him Sheikh James Jamal. He interviewed him, he interviewed all of that money, he interviewed all. And he came to the conclusion after he studied the following and temple of Islam or nation of Islam on Elijah Muhammad, he came to the conclusion that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's main work was the work of bringing African Americans into a new culture, a new culture. Another word for culture is dress, isn't it? Into a new culture, or into a new cultural dress. That was his conclusion. Now, let me come back to this. I spent a lot of time on dress. Because events have become so entangled. You're on fire most of them. Most of you that see in the streets, you get burning all the time. It's in flames, engulfed in flames, but you're wearing all the time clothing. But anyway, when you think of dress, how dress influences personality, how it influences ego. It can make a guy that had no enthusiasm, had no strength in him to stand up straight. He'd go sad and droopy, dull. You put him in a uniform, and you don't have to give him a gun or a weapon. Just put him in a uniform and put some medals up here on his chest. And that guy, Kirka, come on, fellas. When I was a little boy, about 8 or 9 years old, there was a corner near the busy corner, and there was a guy who would be out there at a certain time every day. He had his own uniform. He took a pop-out cap, and he stuck them to his uniform, stuck them on his coat, so they looked like fellas. And he'd be out there directing stuff. Come on, hey, get up. He was somebody. Now, I'm ashamed to admit this, but it happened to me. It was a long time before I went to the movies. In the Temple of Islam, you couldn't go to the movie. You could be actually put out of the Temple of Islam. If they found out you had lost a movie. So this time I went to this movie. It was John Wayne. You know? Big dude. I saw this John Wayne movie. You know, he had a special walk, didn't he? John Wayne had a special walk. He walked like he feared nothing, and nothing should mess with him. And he held his hand kind of like he was ready to draw at any time. Even though he was walking, one hand was swinging, wasn't getting too far away from the pistol. I watched that movie for about...
early in the morning, seeing a friend, Ben's fresh fruit coffee, as I stumble down the stairs, tiptoe by the bedroom where my children sleep. 25 years earlier, I still pray my Lord their souls to keep. Grab my keys, grab my hat, and I head on out the door. Crank up my old pickup truck, and off the work I go. But I gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
the best that I can. Try and make a difference, cause that's just who I am. I've gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and little helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be
grateful for my life, and all the things he's given me that make my life, for the warm rays of sunshine, the stars that light the night, friends that last forever, and my children and my wife. Now there's a little boy, he lives down the street, who wants to grow to be a man. But life is rough and the streets are tough, and he tries to understand. He said, "Miss, can you help me? Can you lend a helping hand? Tell me why the life's so rough. Can you help me understand?" Well, I think about the days gone by and the things my daddy said, and the wisdom that he shared with me still lingers in my head. He said, "You gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
you gotta do the best that you can. Try and make a difference in any way you can. You gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
you gotta be grateful for your life, and all the things he's given you that makes your life. For the warm rays of sunshine, and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and your children and your wife." Go back to Columbus, and I say the day's last prayer, asking for his blessing for people everywhere, and our sons and daughters who fight in foreign lands, trying to make a difference for their family. But they gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
they gotta do the best that they can. Try to make a difference any way they can. They've gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But they gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
they gotta be grateful for their lives, and all the things he's given them that make their life, for the warm rays of sunshine, and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and their children and their wives. Yeah, they gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful.
the warm rays of sunshine, dark up like the night. Friends are lost forever, and their children and their wives. Say they gotta be thankful.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. By Juma Mubarak, may we have a blessed Juma.